You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning. You ready for the word? The entrance of God's word gives, and it gives understanding to the simple. So you're ready to receive the word of God. Father, we just want to thank you that your word is powerful, your word is true. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to brood over the word of God and cause your word to become life to each one of us, that Jesus Christ will become even more real to us in our daily walk. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read to you verses from the Bible, and I want you to see what is it that gave these men the ability to do amazing things for God. For instance, in Exodus 14, God said to Moses, "Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground through the midst of the sea." 2.5 to 3 million people going through the Red Sea. In Judges 14, we read of Samson. "Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one who have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand." David, when facing Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom you have defied. This day," not tomorrow, "this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and take your head off of you, and it won't be good for your health. Surely, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." In 1 Kings 17, Elijah and the dead child. Elijah stretched himself out over the child these three times and cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord my God, please let this child's life return to him." And the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. Stephen, in Acts 7, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit for which he spoke. Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful, this man begging for alms, "Look on us." He came expecting to receive something. If you expect to receive something this morning, you will receive it. And Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And you know the story. He went walking and leaping and praising God. We read of Paul, for instance, in Acts 28, on his way to Rome, shipwrecked on the Isle of Malta. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Jesus, in John chapter 5, he's at the pool of Bethesda. This man's waiting for 38 years to be healed. 38 years. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. What did these men have in common with Jesus? The anointing of God upon their lives. And this morning, I want to speak to you about the power of the anointing. The power, and that's the title of the message, the power of the anointing of God upon your life. So what is the anointing? Many years ago, I asked God to give me a simple definition of the anointing. I've read what other people said, Frank DiMaggio and many others said about the anointing, wonderful description of the anointing. God, give me something simple. And he said this to me, "The anointing is the skill of God coming on you. It's his ability, his power, his skill coming upon your life." The anointing of God coming upon. For instance, in Exodus 31, we have a guy by the name of Bezalel. He was a craftsman in his own right, able to fashion things out of gold and silver and precious stones and so on. But when he was called to work in the tabernacle of God and create the utensils that were needed in the tabernacle, the ark and the candlesticks and so on, he needed the power and the anointing of God upon his life. I remember years ago when I was leading a new Christians classes back in Adelaide, we had professional teachers. They were skillful in their profession. They were certainly better than us and be able to teach. But I said, before you can teach the Word of God to the new believers, you need the anointing. You may be skillful in what you do, but to bring it from the head to the heart, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. And it's so crucial that we have the anointing of God. Now, here's the question. Do you have that anointing? You may say, well, I hope so. I'm not sure. Well, what does the Word say in 1 John 2:20? But you have the anointing from the Holy One. You have that anointing. The Word says you have it. Turn to the person and say, you have that anointing. You have that anointing from the Holy One. And the anointing is the skill of God that comes upon your life. And so the Bible very clearly speaks to us, church, that we have this anointing, and this anointing is a person. Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 13, when you believed in Christ, listen to this, when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own. Isn't that amazing? Jesus has identified you as His own by giving you Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. And so the anointing lives in you. If you're born again Christian, the anointing is resident within you. 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. So here it is. What is the anointing? What does the Bible say? What is the anointing for? That's the crucial part. That's the question we need to ask. In Luke chapter 4, we read that Jesus was in Nazareth. He goes in the synagogue and he reads. The reading of that day was from Isaiah 61. And Luke records what he read in verse 18 of Luke chapter 4. And as Jesus reading, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, I call it the because anointing. Remember, Grant, when we were in Malaysia, our theme was the because anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, let's have a Selah moment for a moment. Jesus is fully God, but He's fully man. In His humanity, He opens the scroll. It's Isaiah 61. It's a prophecy that was made 700 years before Jesus walked this earth. He opens the scroll and He reads something about Himself. What would have gone through His mind in His humanity? This is me. Have you ever opened up a prophecy made concerning you 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago? You've never seen it for the first time? 700 years we're talking about. And so the anointing was given to preach the gospel to the poor. The poor, spiritually poor, mentally poor, emotionally poor. Last Thursday night, Glennis and I went out to dinner with a Nigerian couple, amazing couple. Never met them before, but they wanted to catch up with us when we went to the Gold Coast. We're sitting in a restaurant, and this lovely girl came and served us and so on. She was just very pleasant. So I said to her, "Would you like to hear some good news?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Would you really like to hear some good news?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Jesus loves you and he's got a plan for your life. Would you like to hear about it?" "Yes." So I shared the gospel with her. And I said, "Would you like to receive Jesus Christ now?" She says, "Yes, I would." So I led her to the Lord. Glennis and the other lady that was with us, they shared with a Japanese girl about the gospel. This particular girl, her name is Carla. She said, "Someone gave me some music, some Christian music, but I haven't had time to listen to it." She said, "There are times I've been thinking in my life, you know, there's got to be more to life than this. What is it?" We have the gospel. We have the gospel. Can we share the good news? Let's make it personal. Can you? Yes, you can, because you've been anointed. You've been anointed to share the good news. Start off with a simple phrase. "Would you like to hear some good news?" Secondly, the anointing is to heal the brokenhearted. Who are they? People whose lives that have been broken, people who have been mistreated, felt betrayed, ashamed, nothing to live for. Maybe a loss of a loved one. But that's what the anointing is for. To heal the brokenhearted. People have been crushed by life circumstances. And that is what you and I have been anointed for. You can say a few more amens here. I think we're in a Pentecostal church. Thirdly, to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives, those that are prisoners. Prisoner of habit. I had a habit. It's called smoking. Someone, a preacher said to me, "Smoking won't get you to hell, but you sure smell like you've been there." And I thought, "Well, thank you very much." He's in heaven now. And I said, I kept praying to God, "Holy Spirit, please help me. What do I do?" Holy Spirit said to me, "Have you ever seen a dead man smoke?" I said, "No." I shared this in a seminar in Adelaide once. And this smart aleck puts his hand up. He said, "I did, when my uncle got cremated." I thought, "Oh, you always got the smart ones, don't you?" But Romans 6, when Jesus died, you died with him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he rose from the grave, you arose in newness of life. You have the life of Christ living in you. And Gateway Church, you and I personally have been anointed to proclaim liberty. Liberty. Freedom. A man came up to me, wanted prayer, and I saw on his forehead prison bars. I said, "Holy Spirit, what is it?" He said, "That man feels he's in prison." Prison. Prison. And what he was in prison for, before I share that, I thought about people that were in prison. You know, if I said the word POW, what would that stand for? Prison of war. Maybe Prince of Wales. What about prisoner of words? How many people have been prisoner to words that were spoken over them growing up? Prisoner of words. "You're no good, you're hopeless, you'll never amount to much." And when I spoke to this person, this man, "Are you in prison? You feel you're in prison?" He said, "Yes." "Is it prison of words that's spoken over?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Who by?" "Your dad." "My dad." I said, "You're no good. Your life won't amount to much." And God was able to set him free that day. And that's what the anointing's for, church. Fourthly, to recover sight to the blind. Not only physically blind, but spiritually blind. The first time I ever saw, only once, a person blind in his right eye in the Philippines. When we prayed for him, that the whiteness receded and his brown pupil appeared exactly like his left eye, totally healed. Did he get excited? Yes, he did. Did I get excited? Yes, I did. But you see, there are people who are spiritually blind. They've lost their way. And unfortunately, sometimes Christians can be like that, lose their way. We meet people that are spiritually blind every day. Your workplace, your school, your shopping center, your neighborhood, spiritually blind. And fifthly, to set at liberty, the anointing is set at liberty those who are oppressed. People have had their lives shattered and weakened by the devil's attacks. You know, it was said of Jesus in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Jesus always goes around doing good. And healing all, not some, all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. People whose lives were shattered, manipulated, bullied, distressed, anxious and fearful. You know, for the last 10 years, I've been going to gym. That's exercise gym, for those who are not sure what it is. And with the veterans, army veterans. One of the guys said to me one day, he said, you're one of these, you know, the guys that, you know, and he didn't want to say it, go to church? Yeah, go to church. I said, yes, I did. So he said, well, I'm an atheist. I said, well, I'm a born-again Christian. When did you become a born-again atheist? He didn't know how to answer that. And for 7 years, I witnessed to him and prayed and prayed and prayed that God would never let him depart this earth until he's found his peace with God. 7 years. Constantly witnessed every week. He'd always want to come back and talk. Amazing, isn't it? Last year, October last year, he was on his deathbed, had cancer. Only had a few days to live. And I said to him, I said, Alan, Jesus has prepared a place for you, John 14. And he wants you to receive him into your heart. He will forgive you of every sin that you've ever committed. Would you? And he said, look, thanks, Phil. Thanks. I've got my own religion. I said, do you mind if I pray for you? He said, yes, please. So I said, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your precious blood. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. I believe you died and rose again the third day. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe this day, one day, I will see him in heaven. 3 days later, he was gone. You see, there is power. There's no power on earth that can destroy the work of the enemy of our souls. It's only the anointing that can destroy the works of the enemy. And I'm saying to you, people of God, you have this anointing on your life. But I must ask you this question. Is it operating in your life? In Israel, there's a river that flows into two seas, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, the same river. One's full of life, one is dead. Why? It's the same river. They both have inlets, but only one has an outlet, the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee. Well, what does that say to us? We must give out what comes in. To keep that anointing flowing in our lives, we must give out. The Bible says there is a river that's inside of you, John 7, 37, 38 and 30. If anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being, the old King James says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit. There's a river that's inside of us, but it needs to flow out into others. You know, sometimes, you know, we look at the platform and see the pastors. Yeah, it's, you know, you can do it. But I'm not sure if I can do it. No, we've been anointed to do it, all of us. You can do it. You can do it. There's a river that's inside of you. Didn't Jesus say in Mark 16, verse 17, and these signs shall follow those that believe in my name. In my name, they will cast out demons. A couple of weeks ago, I was in another church and we cast out a demon over a person's life. They will speak with new tongues. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, please don't leave this building. It's a gift from the Father for you. See, salvation was a gift to the sinner, but now you're giving your life, you're not a sinner. You were a sinner. You're now a child of God. That means this gift is for you. Don't leave it. It's for you. It says that, it goes on to say they'll pick up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Remember, the anointing comes with power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive dunamis, power. Power. When the Holy Spirit come upon you and be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's including Australia, New Zealand, the islands. That's the uttermost part of earth from Jerusalem. But you see, it's not only power. I want you to really take notice. It's not only power to witness about Jesus, but it's power that your life will begin to be revealed the very fact that Jesus Christ, the ascended, glorified Lord, dwells in me. I want you. I think sometimes I stop and think. I'm walking down the street, and sometimes I'm stopping and think and say, "Holy Spirit, you live in this vessel. This temple, this vessel is your dwelling place." What an amazing thought. You live in me. Jesus, you live in me. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "It is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who given himself up for me." In 1 John 4:17, "As he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world." Not when we get to heaven. Our lives portray the very person of Jesus Christ. And it's done by the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. The anointing will make Jesus real to people. We see this played out in the book of Acts, in Acts 4:13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled." The world is, there's coming a day, sooner than we think, where the world is going to think something is different about you. Yeah, that's right. They're going to be marveled about. There's something about your life. What is it? They marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. See, when you fellowship with Jesus, it starts to reflect in your life, in your walk, in your talk. They marveled. And so the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is the hand of God on a person's life. That's you. In Psalm 89, verse 20 to 21, "I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him." You ready for God to strengthen you? Listen to this. "No king ever sat on the throne in Israel until they were anointed. No king, let me say it again, ever sat on the throne in Israel until they're anointed. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God. You've been anointed to be a king. You've been anointed to be a priest. What's the role of the king? Is to rule and reign in this life. Rule and reign with Christ in this life. Rule over sickness. Rule over disease. Rule over problems. Rule over fear, worry, and anxiety. Rule over those things. What's the purpose of the priest? It's to speak to God on behalf of the people and to speak to the people on behalf of God. Can I encourage us, the ones here that are in leadership, myself included, get up the mountain first. Hear what God has to say first before you listen to the people. And you have been anointed to sit in heavenly places, not with Christ, because that means you've already left the earth, you've already, but in Christ. Physically, we're on planet Earth, but spiritually, we're seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority. You're seated in Christ. Here's a question. I might have asked it before, but I'm going to say it again. How are you today? Are you looking up or looking down? Put up your hand if you're looking up. Where are you seated? What you thought were giants were grasshoppers. What you thought was a mountain was a molehill. It's seeing it from his viewpoint. I'm seated in heavenly places. And I'm looking down. Warren knows this. When we're in the army, we were taught to take the high ground so we can see where the enemy was going, what direction, how many were in the company, what sort of armaments did they have. In Christ, you're seated in heavenly places. You're looking down. You're not looking up. You're looking down to see what the enemy's doing. You already know what he's going to do. You can say hallelujah on that one. And you've been anointed. How do we release the anointing? By sharing the good news. You know, Warren is one of the most famous ones in this church that shares his testimony all the time. This is what happened to me. Once I was lost, now I'm found. Now, once I was blind, but now I see. You want to hear his testimony, amazing testimony. We all got a testimony. What God had done in our lives. Pray for people who are sick. If you see someone says, oh, I'm just not feeling well today. Do you mind if I pray for you? Rarely do you say that, so no. Just pray for them. You've been anointed to do this. Don't hesitate to pray for someone who is depressed or feeling anxious or fearful. Just being friendly can release the anointing. Being encouraging can release the anointing. Can I say this? Don't wait for feelings. Just hang on. I just wait till my hands shut. I just want to feel something down my spine. No! Be a faith person. Let me pray for you. Just wait until I got this prophecy. No, don't wait for it. See, whatever people are facing right now, there is an anointing upon you to face it, to overcome it, to restore it, to transform it, to see dynamic change. Why? Because the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage, the yoke of limitations, the yoke of slavery. The Bible says Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. You have been anointed in Jesus' name to walk in victory, not defeat. You know, you might be in a fight for your marriage, your children, your health, your finances. Believe this one thing. God has anointed you to give you the breakthrough you need. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed the anointing while he is on earth, how much more do we need to be anointed? Otherwise, we're no match for the devil. Let me say this. I can't pray effectively without the anointing. I can't preach effectively without the anointing. Ask the pastors, Pastor Lee, others here. I can't lead worship without the anointing. I can't teach children's church without the anointing. I can't stand at the door and greet people without the anointing of God. I can't live the Christian life without the anointing. I like this comment that Catherine Kuhlman said. She made an interesting statement about the anointing. She said, God's not looking for golden vessels. He's not looking for silver vessels. He's not even looking for talented vessels or educated vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. Vessels that surrender to Him. Vessels that say, here am I. Send Him. No, here am I, send me. Vessels that say, without you I can do nothing, but with you I'm a mighty force to be reckoned with against the enemy. Will you be that person in 2025? Come on. I finish with this, Psalm 92, verse 10. I love this psalm. King David says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. I've been anointed with fresh oil. What happens when you're anointed with fresh oil? Psalm 92, verse 10 to 15, it says, but your horn, my horn, you have anointed like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. My eyes also have seen my desire and my enemies. That's what's going to happen. My ears hear my desire and the wicked who rise up against me. Thanks, team. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow old. He shall grow old like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. What happens when you're anointed fresh oil? This morning, when we pray for you, what's going to happen? Your eyes are going to be opened. You're going to see what the enemy has been trying to do in your family, with your finances, with that situation, the health situation. You'll start to hear the voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Your ears will be open. This morning, you're going to go from this place with your eyes open, your ears open. You will flourish, you'll grow, you'll bear fruit in old age, you'll be fresh and flourishing. You will declare that the Lord is upright. He's your rock. Jesus is your rock. Fresh anointing for 25. We want to pray for you this morning. Pastors here ready to pray. Ready to pray for people this morning. Don't leave this building till you've received by faith a fresh anointing from God. But before I do, I want to give an opportunity for anyone here. If you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, maybe anyone watching online, if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, I want to give you this opportunity. The greatest, the most important prayer that you can ever pray is to invite Jesus into your life. What will He do? He will change your life. He'll forgive you of all your wrongs, things that you've done in the past. He'll give you a brand new start. It's like someone wiping all the writings on a whiteboard. Give you a brand new start. He'll come in your life. You'll experience His peace, His love, and His joy in your life. And that's what God wants to give you this morning. I want you to close your eyes and we're going to say this prayer and the church is going to help us. And just before we pray this prayer, I just want to give opportunity. If you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, would you mind if you don't, to just raise your hand and say, I want you to pray for me. Just put your hand up and put it down. Anyone here? Just put your hand up and put it down. Quickly before we pray. Anyone here? First time, or you want to do it again for second time. It's been a long time since you did it, done it last. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross and that you rose again the third day. On the confession of my faith, I believe in you. I invite you into my life. From this moment on, I want to live my life for you. Please help me to live my life for you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.